I was flipping through my Instagram after the new year, and I was like, holy sweet goodness, I cannot scroll like four pictures without seeing someone comment about their amazing clarifying celery juice. And I have had celery juice before. We have been juicers in our past.
Yeah.
Strong, daily. It was great. But celery juice is not that great. I mean, in terms of like the flavor, and it's not like I believe these people saying, oh my God, this is the most like rejuvenating elixir of my life. And they've got this like beautiful like green drink with like fruit around the edge, and or like, you know, it's like all glammed up for Instagram. And I'm just sitting there going, what the fudge is it? That celery juice is now everywhere I turn. Like,
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out this edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. You guys, we told you last week, but we're going to reiterate it because it's still going on. We have the very first ATF giveaway being sponsored by Guys Gone Keto. That was the company founded by last week's guest, Tom King, and he has been generous enough to give away a Guys Gone Keto sauces starter pack to the winner of our giveaway. They get an ATF getaway.
Get a getaway.
Come to our house and
a bunch of
watch, yeah.
Ketchup and barbecue sauce. Yeah.
All right, so I don't want you to give it away too much because I'm going to tell them they are going to get a, as I mentioned, Guys Gone Keto starter pack with their low caloric and low glycemic sausage. They got ketchup, barbecue sauce, Thai chili, steak sauce, and teriyaki sauce. So those, you guys, if you guys enter the giveaway, you can win a starter pack from Guys Gone Keto, and the lovely Shannon is going to let you know how you can enter the giveaway.
So if you want to head over to Instagram, you can either check out the ET Tampa account, and under there you will actually see a post for the giveaway. Mm-hmm. And it is a picture of the products. They're like bag-looking products.
Yeah.
Very, very sleek, mm-hmm. very nice looking.
You know what I'm gonna do right now?
What?
I want you to keep telling them, but I'm gonna put it in my highlights, the giveaway. It's gonna be into the highlights, so you guys will see it there, and then you can just click on the very top of my Instagram profile so you don't have to search through the pictures.
So all you have to do there is you like the post and then tag two friends that you who you think would enjoy some tasty keto safe sauces.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also, and this is the real way, you should definitely do this way, you get two bonus entries if you leave a rating and review for the Addicted to Fitness podcast in either iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and then just let us know that you did it, get credit for it, and then email a screenshot of it to theatfpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's theatfpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, Instagram gets you an entry. You get two bonus entries if you actually just take a moment, leave us a rating and review on the iTunes or
slash Apple Podcast.
Yeah. So why not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we'll be going to be taking entries for the giveaway all the way up till February 16th. I believe that's a Saturday. And we're going to cut off the entries, you know, right at midnight. And then hopefully the plan is the following day announce the winner on an Instagram Live. Not Instagram Live, sorry. A Facebook Live on the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. So a quick little hitter. We'll announce the winner and maybe we'll even do some other kind of cool stuff because we haven't done a Facebook Live in a while.
We haven't.
So it might be time for it. All right. So you guys get into that giveaway. We're going to go right into our training recaps for the week. We have been pretty abysmal as far as training goes for the last 2 weeks, but I'd say for good reason. We've been dealing with some serious bugs here at the house, and I don't mean the creepy crawly kinds. Well, I guess they're technically creepy crawling. All right. But we're talking about the microscopic kind, the germs. We've been, it's like a germ battle zone here in the house as of late.
Specific a virus.
Yes, so I think probably about 2 weeks or so ago, I started feeling pretty rough. I was getting body aches and just severe fatigue and kind of head congestion. And I thought, you know, maybe it was just bad head cold. And then I was like, man, it feels kind of like flu-like symptoms. It only hung around, the real bad symptoms only hung around for 48 hours, but then a few days later, you started getting the symptoms.
Yes.
And then approximately a week or so later, Ella went to the doctor and tested positive for the flu.
Yep. So we know we had the flu. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into a little bit more on some similar topics, but Nick did get his flu shot.
Yep.
Ella definitely got her flu shot because mm-hmm. she is surrounded by like 15 sick children at her school every day. So they were all pretty good about that. I did not get the flu shot yet. I have like meant to. It's been one of those things that's been on my list, but something's always come up and I didn't get it. My heavy symptoms hung around for about 3.5 days instead of 2 days. And both Nick and Ella, the worst of their symptoms in the beginning were done in like 2 days.
Yeah.
So definitely, and I'm not like a pansy in terms of my immune system. So I definitely kind of regretting that I didn't go and get that. Right. But, you know, it's funny because we've had previous episodes where we've talked about like how to prevent. Like, really, the best way to battle the flu is to prevent the flu. But as I've just kind of come to accept, it's not really possible to avoid these very contagious, extremely strong viruses when you have a child. Yeah.
Essentially, you're bringing a vector into this house every day that was exposed to many different germs from different vectors and different people.
Like a petri dish.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way to describe
it. It's like a little walking petri dish, and she's amazing. But yeah, it took her even longer than us, I think, to succumb to it. But we got a note, like, in her school mailbox, like, a day before you got the symptoms, I think, that said someone there had it. So goodness only knows.
Yeah,
so many people are out with it right now.
No, I've been hearing it all over the place.
And dropping like flies.
It's nuts. It's getting like, I don't know. I'm always afraid of like pandemics like this, like these different diseases that, you know, and viruses that obviously we have treatment for. But as Shannon, we don't want to get too far into one of our main topics we're talking about on this week's episode. But it was almost scary, maybe just because now we have Ella in childcare, so we're more cognizant of it.
Yeah.
Like you said, but it seems that everybody I talk to has got somebody sick, and the flu is getting mentioned a lot. So this week, in addition to after getting over the flu, Ella had to deal with a double ear infection, which was really obviously uncomfortable for her, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
But we kind of got a little taste of having to balance, like, provide pretty much all day childcare for her this week, you know, bouncing between one another and having to call out of work and things like that. So it gave me a little better appreciation for those parents and or caretakers that are essentially dealing with individuals that have chronic conditions where have to be essentially on call every day. I mean, we're on call every day.
Full-time caregivers,
luckily, you know, Elio is very healthy and has no, I would say, I don't know what the right word to pronounce, health conditions or, you know, I mean, I said that chronic word, so debilitating health conditions, maybe that's another way to describe it. But, knock on wood, obviously. So we're very fortunate, and for all those parents out there that and caretakers that are doing it, it's their full-time job. So my hat's off to them, if more so than it was before. So besides to actual training, I finally got on the bike, got that on the Peloton cycle, and then I also been doing a little shirt-off walk around the neighborhood, get some vitamin D in my body. I feel like that's kind of helped me kick the rest of this cold that's still lingering just a little bit. All right, now I'm going to throw it over to you, even though you've chimed in a couple times, and maybe technically that was my training recap, but we did a lot of sharing of the training recaps. Since
sharing of viruses, sharing of stuff.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously I was also battling this, and I'm about 3 days behind you.
Yeah.
Is what we've averaged. Like, you'll get a new symptom, and it's like, oh, I have, like, this really, like, sore glands today. And I'm like, uh-oh. 3 days later, I got them. And I was like, son of a bee. Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely slowed me down. But I will say that I did get in a couple of mornings of yoga. Mm-hmm. And something I did try to make time for a few days was, like, a 10 to 15 minute meditation. Mm-hmm. And basically my thought lately, because I've been dealing with like the severe anxiety coming back, probably because of all of the health related situations we've been going through in the recent months. But I think that for the amount of time that you do it, I think you can actually get more, at least for me, I get more out of meditating than I do like doing like 15 to 30 minutes of like activity right now. Cause like, that's what I need in my life right now is just like a quieting of the craziness in my head.
Mm-hmm. That's
and it's, I wouldn't have prioritized it that way in the past, but now it's just like, if I have 15 minutes, am I going to go do a HIIT workout or am I going to meditate? And I found that 15 minutes of meditation gives me so much more to be able to get through my day than the physical work. So, you know, parent choices, prioritizations, basically like, you know, you can't do both. Which one are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I've been faced with that decision quite a bit lately.
Yeah, I've been falling off on my meditations, and I definitely believe that it's made me feel a little scatterbrained this week on top of our somewhat of a complicated schedule, but I definitely want to try to get back on that train because I agree with you. I think it definitely helps you when you, especially when you need a little bit more mental focus throughout the day.
Yeah, but in order to kind of battle the sickness and encourage recovery, really, is, let's see, I've tackled a number of things, and they're maybe the non-traditional, I don't know, like, non-traditional or not common, I guess, like, not the average thing. So, like, I am very privileged to have my acupuncturist mother live 35 minutes away. And so she gave me a treatment when I was, like, in the worst throes of my flu that did actually help a little bit that day. And we've used a lot of supplements. So in addition to just trying to stay up on our regular vitamins and things, we've been having elderberry and we've been using zinc pretty much like where and whenever we can. I think that the lack of sleep, because we've just not gotten a lot of sleep when Ella was sick, has definitely slowed us down. But, you know, hopefully we're all on the mend at this point.
Yeah.
And we can use the sleep to get us back. But I'm not gonna lie, this is where I may lose some people. So if you didn't already get lost at the acupuncture, elderberry, and zinc supplementation, I also have some crystals around the house. Don't give me the giggles there, what? Mister. Don't give me that. So I have some like healing and very like calming, soothing crystals, cleansing crystals. I have pretty much all the crystals in Ella's room right now. So yes, I am one of those people. And also essential oils have pretty much been the bread and butter of our home life.
Yeah.
Because everywhere from putting them in diffusers to last night, I'm telling you, it helped me.
It definitely opened up your sinuses.
And I did it longer than you, and I think like it definitely made a difference last night. But I actually did like a steam with clove, eucalyptus and peppermint. Mm-hmm. And it was like a clearing of my head for the first time in 2 weeks. It was amazing. Everything felt soothed. It was just a 10-minute steam, just a facial steam, get all the airways cleared. It was incredible. So basically, yeah, we have rubs that I put on Ella right now. They're pretty much everywhere mm-hmm. in her life. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I know with the essential oils, there's some research, preliminary research, a lot of kind of, you know, small studies done about the benefits of certain essential oils to be antiviral, antifungal. And obviously they've been used throughout history too, to obviously as applications to help with both of those things. But even if some of those, even if it's just helps 1%, I'll take it, but also it smells great. So
it's like, it's a win-win. Soothing. Yeah. It's like, sometimes it's about getting the idea that, you know, like things are fake or they don't do what they say they're going to do. But mm-hmm. honestly, when you're sick, if you have a stuffed animal, like, or you have a, you know, little tree, if that sucker brings you joy and you feel like it's positive in your life, it's going to make you more positive right. and it's going to help you feel better. So all the additional aspects, you know, if you don't believe in crystals, you think mm-hmm. all the energy and the vibration stuff is all mumbo jumbo, even though they've proven it's real.
Okay.
They've proven that they have vibrations.
Okay. I believe that there's definitely vibrations. Everything has energy.
Right. Everything has vibrations. But even if, like, you're not sold on that idea, it's the fact that they do bring, like, a certain amount of comfort, just almost as, like, talismans. Mm-hmm. Just because the idea of something that can sort of hold your best intention and positivity, that's a good thing. So, you know, if
perfect example, The Price is Right. Whenever I was sick,
that's not, I watched The Price is Right. That's just a comfort.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
That's not a thing, though.
It's always there at 11:30, guaranteed. It's not 11:30. Excuse me, 11 o'clock. It's always there.
Watching TV can absolutely be a comfort, that's what I'm saying.
And when it's The Price is Right.
I think you're bastardizing my entire commentary. So
I could not do that.
Thanks a lot.
I just agreed with you. I said that was good. I was trying to make a joke.
Okay.
All right. But one thing you can't do is rely on those type of talismans, even though they would bring you joy and they can be a contributing factor to helping any condition you have. They are not necessarily a cure to severe conditions like the flu and or other kind of, chronic conditions, diseases that were prominent in this country probably in the early decades or early, you know, part of the 20th century. I think that kind of segues into our first topic we're talking about is the measles outbreak in Oregon. There was a recent measles outbreak that started in Oregon in the beginning of January, and they actually traced it back to a Trailblazers game, which for anybody who doesn't know the Trailblazers, it's the NBA, and that they were told that fans who attended the game were exposed to measles in the wake of a local outbreak. The outbreak is connected to a strong regional vaccination community centered in the nearby Vancouver, Washington area and has sickened 23 individuals, including 15 kids. Now, this article came from Fatherly, which was actually a kind of, a dad's, I don't know.
It's like a newsletter.
Email,
it's like
newsletter. An e-newsletter. Thank you. That you told me to subscribe to, and I happily did, and I saw this in my email at the end of the, it was, the article was on January 25th, and so I kind of looked up to see where the case was as of right now, and I said, as of February 6th, there were now 54 confirmed cases of measles in that area in Oregon. So basically they said the irresponsible behavior of, and this is from the Fatherly article, I'm reading from the Fatherly article. So quote, the irresponsible behavior of the parents refusing to vaccinate has not only jeopardized their own children, but the full 19,393 people in attendance at that NBA game. So to think that, you know, I don't know if we've really talked about anti-vaxxers on this podcast before.
I think we've talked about, like, where we stood in terms of, like, we're vaccinators. We absolutely believe that vaccines serve an important part in our, you know, excuse me, our health system, and also largely in our society because of how we behave and live our lives.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I'm not saying we're proponents of all vaccines, but of those critical vaccines that are actively preventing outbreaks of these possibly, like, measles can kill. Like, didn't they kill, like, kids and older people?
Point. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, these are sicknesses that you just don't want to screw around with. And there's vaccinations that exist to help your body build its own defense without having to acquire this virus and then, you know, make it through the virus in its raw and wild form, meaning, you know, you're suffering and going through a range of other things. If there's a vaccine that's going to prevent that, then we are on the pro side for that.
Yeah.
For those, like, highly contagious, just dangerous illnesses.
Right.
So we're not going to even go near the discussion, just throwing this out there. We're not going to go near the discussion, like, the other side of the discussion, which is, like, vaccines just for everything, you know, like the HPV and all that other stuff. We're not going to go there. We're talking proven vaccinations specifically for these, like, basic illnesses, like you see children having to get vaccinated for.
You know, basically diseases that were eradicated thanks to modern medicine, polio, measles, so on. I know I read in another article that there's two doses, or basically you get two vaccinations, two shots of the MMR vaccine, one in your first year, and then one, I believe, I saw the articles, between the fourth and sixth year of your life. And the first, if you get the first dose, it's up to 93, it prevents up to 93% your chances of getting measles. And if you get your second dose, it increases it to 97%.
Yeah.
So you have less than 10% if you get the vaccine of getting measles. And obviously these anti-vaccine communities, anti-vaccination communities have become a little bit more prominent, and I feel it's a developed world issue. I don't know about any other countries that do it. I'm sure there are some. But it's, for some reason, it's pretty prominent in the United States. I understand people's kind of, I guess, opposition to allowing other people to tell them how to take care of their body or their children's body. I get that. But as you stated, when you live in a society, and especially a city, where you are in close contact with thousands of people, even probably millions of people by proxy, you get close to one person, they get close to another, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
That's how pandemics spread.
Right.
And there's more than just this happening. I just heard about, was listening to podcasts about how typhus in the downtown LA is becoming prominent now due to fleas from rodents biting homeless people. And now it's spreading throughout downtown LA. So things like typhus, and then, I mean, it's just conditions or diseases that we eradicated thanks to vaccines and sanitation and kind of the perks of a developed society. And now we're taking a step back because we want our own autonomy for some reason.
Because we want our own control. And saying, you know, I think a lot of people that, and I'm not speaking for this audience, but from my understanding, the idea is that you're putting this disease or this, you know, virus into your body, and there's a group of people that says, well, it's not 100% effective, and in fact, there have been lethal situations where that vaccine killed somebody. And now, granted, statistically speaking, because every body is different, yes, there is like a statistical, it's small, it's very, very small, but there is a statistical number that could have a severely adverse reaction to a vaccine that would, for most people, be a very positive thing. So there is this growing community that says, well, why should we have to vaccinate, take that risk, and put this virus in our bodies already if, you know, well, we're healthy and, you know, we live good lifestyles and, you know, we're not the homeless person on the corner and all that. So they're opting out of getting these vaccinations. And like, I hear it all the time because I am a little bit of that person, that like alternative person. Like in the yoga community, I've heard like other yoga teachers who have kids, they don't vaccinate their kids with like the recommended schedule of vaccinations. Like, we got a freaking intense schedule. I'm not gonna lie. We gave it some serious pause because it was like, you're gonna give our baby who just became a part of this world how many shots? But then when we think about the risk, and especially if we know if they're going to be out in the world in a really active way and they're not going to be sheltered in our house based on our lifestyle and based off what we knew she would have to do, we chose to follow that recommendation. And it was a very, very serious conversation. Now, some people who don't live in like bustling cities, they can, you know, kind of keep their child out of daycare, like the whole thing. I understand why they take it a little easier. Like, I wish we could have taken it a little slower. You know, I wish we didn't have to go straight in with all of these shots. I mean, it's, I'm not even that scarred at the doctor's office when she gets the shots. It sucks, but that's not the part that bugs me. I get why people are saying, I don't want to put that virus in my body. I don't want to risk the adverse reaction for my child. Like, it could kill somebody. It's like, well, yeah, so could walking down the street. But we do it every day because it's part of the society we live in. It's what we have to do in order to be functional human beings now.
Yeah, and I think that if you look statistically at the chance of dying from a vaccine opposed to complications of acquiring, you know, said condition that the vaccine's preventing, you're more likely to acquire the disease then die from a vaccine.
Right.
I believe the statistics are in the favor of the vaccine, in my opinion.
They are.
And I'm sure that throughout history, vaccines have improved. They probably did have some, maybe certain producers of vaccines used less than effective ingredients, or maybe even some ingredients that were somewhat debilitating, that increased adverse reactions. But I think where we are now, I think you got to look at it statistically that when you're in a large group of people, you have to go by numbers. You can't go on feelings and emotion. When you want to try to help the most people and prevent the most widespread disease, you have to look at what's going to do that, and vaccines are going to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I absolutely respect people's decision and choice, but in the same vein, since becoming a parent, the idea that someone would choose not to vaccinate their child, then send that child to school with mine and like expose her to a full blown version of a very contagious, very dangerous disease makes me semi-violent. Like, I don't know, like that, that makes me somewhat crazy in my mind. Because I feel in that instance, like, that is so irresponsible. It's not necessarily irresponsible for your child, but it's irresponsible for the society that you're a part of.
Yeah.
Because then you are forcing your decision for your child. You are forcing adverse reaction and a domino effect of consequences on many other people.
Right.
So it's like, yes, we all want to be selfish when it comes to our kids. We want them to be perfect. We want them to be protected. But we don't live in bubbles. Mm-hmm. And those kids later on in life are going to become adults. They're not going to have their parents making the decisions for them. And they're going to go out. And because they weren't vaccinated by some things, they could possibly spread around some serious ish.
Yeah.
So it's not just thinking about the right here and right now for just you. Like, the idea of, like, the anti-vaccination group, then the consequences that that spells for, like, their communities that do vaccinate and work really hard to keep that illness away from the higher number of people, it is really frustrating.
Right. And, you know, that article also talked about, you know, legal ramifications for people who aren't vaccinating their children, both monetarily and even possible jail time. You know, some states already have things on the books, already have laws on the books, and I think it's going to become more and more prominent that those there's going to be more laws. That Oregon situation, they were already talking about passing some sort of bill that would require, you know, vaccinations, that you no longer are able to waive mandatory vaccinations.
Or if you do, then private school your kids and plan to quarantine them, mm-hmm. like, because that's basically what you're talking about doing. Right.
So, it is a very emotional issue.
Very.
Because, you know, your kids are your own, but then you're also a part of the community, and you have to think about other people's children too. So, that's a topic that's going to come up more and more in the future.
Well,
I'm talking about something when we talked about trends for 2019.
Yeah.
I know we didn't put that on there, but I got a feeling it's going to come up more and more.
It's such a hot button issue. And I mean, there's many different ways to look at it. And I saw, like, 6 months ago, there was this amazing, amazing comment on Facebook floating around that was from a nurse specifically. And she, like, basically laid out why she understood people who don't vaccinate and that they don't want to. But then she had, like, the most beautiful response into why, like, y'all can go to hell sort of thing, like, which I'm not saying that's, like, the proper response, but when you're talking about a highly passionate group of people, it was just nice to see a medical professional mm-hmm. take a strong stand and say, I get the other side, like, so much that I could speak your talk, you know, like, it's I get it. But she had such a well laid out argument.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good well laid out argument. So it's definitely, it's nothing we want to, like, alienate anyone on. But even though I am very much a crystal hugging Palo Santo burning weirdo in way, essential oil using person. We are also, like, very traditional when it comes to, like, the scientific.
We appreciate aspects. Both the Eastern, I guess, the Eastern approach and the Western approach to medicine.
Yeah.
We find the benefits of both. Yeah, there's a balance. Thank you. And speaking of kind of the Eastern approach, maybe a little bit more alternative medicine approach. I think the next topic.
I don't know if this is Eastern, but.
Well, I mean, more reliance on vegetables and things like that and whole food.
More naturalist approach, yeah.
So I think that's more Eastern than Western approach, no? You don't think
my medicine? I don't think that's accurate, but.
No?
We'll say that this is the more. Well, this is just the more naturalist approach. Someone who is a big believer in food is medicine.
Right.
And not just that, but maybe has taken it to a bit of an extreme.
Okay, go ahead. Intro it.
Well, I actually brought up this.
Yeah, you did.
Back in early January, because I was flipping through my Instagram after the new year, and I was like, holy sweet goodness, I cannot scroll, like, four pictures without seeing someone comment about their amazing clarifying celery juice. And I have had celery juice before. we have been juicers in our past.
Yeah.
Strong, daily, everyday organic juicers. It was great. But celery juice is not that great. I mean, in terms of like the flavor, and it's not like I believe these people saying, oh my God, this is the most like rejuvenating elixir of my life. And they've got this like beautiful, like green drink with like fruit around the edge and, or like, you know, it's like all glammed up for Instagram. And I'm just sitting there going, what the fudge is it? That celery juice is now everywhere I turn. Like all of the wellness publications were posting about it. Every influencer and blogger out there was talking about how they were doing their celery juice cleanse. Join me on my 10-day, like, whatever wellness cleanse guru thing. And, I mean, I've seen it die off, first of all. I'm just going to say that. It's February now. It's died off. I've not seen too many celery juice posts recently. But January, it was the freaking month of celery.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you're kind of speaking to it. It was the what's hot right now.
It was the New Year's resolution. Let's detox and cleanse together, and everybody post it because we love sharing what we eat.
Right. And the concept of celery juice was really championed by the medical medium, Anthony William.
Yeah.
This guy, apparently, not a medical doctor, but he is...
He's not even a healthcare practitioner.
Not a licensed doctor or healthcare practitioner, but he's gathered a large following in the wellness world. So he's the one that's kind of been preaching the benefits of celery juice for the last 20 years. So it's obviously speaks to the fact that this is just something that caught fire somehow.
Well, yeah, and celery juice itself has been used for long time. Yep. This is not new.
No. So, and it's interesting. I think his story is probably what started bringing people to it, because Anthony claims to be a medical medium, as I said. Since he was 4 years old, he had heard a voice perfectly clear in his right ear. He calls the voice Spirit, and since the Spirit has been guiding him to read people to find out what's wrong with them, he calls himself a medical medium because of this guiding spirit.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a shaman in a way. Like,
okay.
To a certain degree, he's legit in, like, his specific area. Shamans.
In
terms of, like, you know.
Spiritual?
Yeah, approaching health as much as a spiritual wellness as it is a physical wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually watched some like shaman ceremonies and stuff like that, not in person, but just online and stuff. And it's kind of crazy, but like the way that they approach it from this spiritual path, it has like an actual physical reaction on people.
I think that
he could be kind of good. He could be like going down that lane.
Yeah, no, I think he definitely is. I mean, who are we to speak? We go to church every once in a while and listen to a guy that's supposed to be kind of the mouthpiece of God, quote unquote, speak about, you know, how we should, you know, our morality to a certain extent. So when you have somebody who believes they hear spirits tell them how you should be eating or kind of what things you should be putting in your body, I don't know how...
Curing people, fixing people.
I don't know how much different that is, but, I mean, he has a large following of people that swear by his advice. Obviously, I can't say he's wrong. If people are seeing benefits, is it a placebo effect to some extent? I'm sure, but placebo effect is still a treatment, you know? Obviously, there's no scientific studies that have been done to support his claims about celery juice, the fact that he claims that it's helps with many problems, including digestive problems, constipation, gas, bloating, acid reflux, but also acne, UTIs, sinus problems, Lyme disease, even ADHD. He says it's a miracle tonic that is changing the shape in alternative medicine like never before.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Celery juice, if you use it as like a detoxification method, it is actually a detoxification method. Like it helps to, because of the components in it, you know, it's a good source of potassium, vitamin K, flavonoids. You know, it functions like as an antioxidant. It really does help to cleanse, but I mean, it's also largely water.
Right.
So it's very hydrating, and I've read it as there being some science around how it helps the liver specifically detoxify if you flush out with celery juice, and certain like green vegetables in particular. It helps to detoxify the liver and get rid of excess like estrogen in your body, which by the way is a big contributor to acne issues, as well as digestive problems, as well as a variety of other things. So because it could actually serve as a detoxification, because hormones on an endocrine level that I've been like fascinated learning about, and endocrinology is a completely new facet of our like health system, believe it or not. They're finding that your hormone levels are much more they're influencing all these other things. I believe
that for sure.
So the fact that detoxifying those parts of your body where your hormones can get built up and cause these other physical kind of manifestations in your body, that part I get, like, this could be explained by that, too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much the extent that liver stores toxins, but I agree with the fact that, like, I think it is, because I was...
It's not just a toxin. They're hormones. So
it's, that's something... what I said. I agree with the hormones for sure. I understand when your hormones are out of whack, it could definitely contribute to a lot of those issues we talked about. I believe that for... So that's why I think that the item you brought up about the estrogen is interesting to kind of investigate. One thing I think this is, especially with people who just have the juice essentially in the morning, he was talking about in this article, and we find this article we're kind of bringing quotes from is from the mindbodygreen.com site, and he was talking about just waking up in the morning, drinking 16 ounces of juice, and then I think not eating for at least 30 minutes. So he's talking about kind of eliminating a lot of stuff from the standard American breakfast. So, and a lot of others...
basically talking about intermittent fasting.
To a certain extent, yes.
In a certain way.
But he's also talking about an elimination diet, which a lot of ones that people who jump on, whether it be vegan, whether it be the carnivore diet, people immediately see results because they're eliminating a lot of the negative stuff, sort of stuff that may be high glycemic or high caloric from their beginning of their day, and they're substituting with this green juice that's low in calories but high in vitamins and whatnot, and allows maybe their body to process, to kind of do the autophagy that has been synonymous with certain amounts of intermittent fasting. So I think that it definitely can produce results. I don't know if it's possible to cure things like Lyme disease and ADHD. Because if there was a cure, if it was that simple for ADHD and specifically Lyme disease, because Lyme disease is becoming pretty prevalent in this country now, I think people would be celery would be getting sold out of stores like that.
Yeah.
And it's not. So I think kind of those claims are a little bit, I'm not going to go as far as to say they're unethical, because I'm sure he's had people who said, hey, I had Lyme disease and I started drinking your juice and now I don't have any symptoms of Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's possible, but I don't believe that means that celery juice is a cure for those types of conditions.
Yeah.
I'm sure it makes you feel great if you kind of change your diet and you subscribe to having celery juice each morning, but I don't believe that it can cure really serious conditions like that, or maybe some of the other claims that he's putting forth.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is probably a gross exaggeration, but it's like the funny picture that pops up in my head. He reminds me of the guy in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the father, who just went around, and if any time something happened to somebody, he would spray them with Windex. And he was like, you know, you've got a stain, put Windex on it. You've got a weird wart on your elbow, stick your elbow in Windex. You've got a cut or you hurt yourself, spray Windex on it. And like, he was absolutely a believer that this was the cure-all. The truth is, there's really no cure-all. There's no magic cure-all. Mm-hmm. And like, anytime you have someone touting like, this could be the cure for everybody if everybody does this, there is no such thing.
Right. There is no magic bullet. Obviously, there are certain things that may have like high in micronutrients or specific macronutrients that maybe your body is craving, maybe your body's you're lacking.
Maybe you're replacing a really bad habit with one that is quite a bit better. I mean, the way that we eat breakfast in the United States is kind of messed up in terms of like our digestive system, and we kind of tend to either we outright skip the meal altogether, or we tend to like overtax our digestive system straight out of the gate, which can cause a lot of problems later on down the day, like down the road.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that this might actually tie to. Right. Regardless, if you've tried this and you've had fantastic results, definitely let us know, because I mean, like I said, we used to be heavy duty like juicers.
Yeah.
In the literal way, not the steroids way.
Oh yeah.
Not yet. Should we just clarify that?
Yeah, we're looking to do that next.
Oh gosh. Get out of here.
It's huge.
I don't even like my pets having steroids.
Walking through the doorway sideways because they're so big. Can't go in forwards. Too
big. Let that dream go.
True.
But
yes, you guys can reach out to us. Any comments, either if you use celery juice, or I'm sure it's a touchy thing, but even if you are someone who maybe doesn't subscribe to vaccines, I'd like to hear from you too, because we like to hear both sides of each story. Not that we're going to come over to your camp. But
we're not the kinds of people that are going to try to convert anybody to our way of thinking. We're here to present all sides of the conversation so that you have all the details and information to make decisions about your fitness for yourself. So
that's right. So you guys can reach out to us on that email, and you can also send your screenshot of your review so you can get into the ATF giveaway. Email is theatfpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, reach out to us on social media, the ATF Facebook page, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page, and Twitter, the ATF Podcast. I think there's all the ways to reach us.
There's lots. we're not shy.
No.
We're around.
Nope. You got anything else for him?
Nope.
All right. I think that's it. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @theATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. We really appreciate you guys each listening and... Oh man, I already blew it.
You each when listening. I like this.
Each of you listening. All two of you. 5, 4...